In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we have almost a complete outline of man's fall, of God's love, and of man's salvation. The story begins with a certain man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem, our fathers teach, represents paradise of old, and Jericho, the land of misery and of the passions. Falling into the hands of brigands is nothing but the fall of man into the hands of the demons and again of the passions. Next comes along the priest and the Levite, who pass right by the wounded man. In these we see that the Jewish ritual law, the law of ethics, and the Jewish way of life was no help. Finally, the Good Samaritan approaches. He, our fathers say, stands for Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. The Good Samaritan admits the wounded man to the inn. The wounded man stands for us, for all of humanity, and the inn represents the church, which is a hospital for the soul, where one receives healing and rest and treatment. All the emphasis of the parable falls on the person of the Samaritan and the inn. Pay attention. The inn is the church. In the old days, inns accepted everyone, rich, poor, even animals. They accepted the animals, of course, because most travelers had their animals with them. The animals were led to the stables and the people to the rooms. The Greek word for an inn, pandokeo, pan, which means all, everyone, everybody, and dokeo, accepts, implies in itself that everyone is accepted. Have you ever really considered the church as an inn that accepts everyone? She receives people in any condition, whether ragged, filthy, or sick, no matter what. In other words, she accepts sinners, no matter what degree of sinner they are. She accepts everyone. And her objective is their healing and their sanctification, their salvation. As the Apostle Paul says, the church has no objective but perfecting God's people, then working out the commandment, be holy as I am holy. Whoever enters the church enters to become holy. St. John Chrysostom wrote in the 4th century, entering this refuge, Christ that is, and finding man defiled, squalid, naked, and bloodied, he bathes, anoints, nurtures, and clothes him. He who clothed himself in humanity receives all, and in this way he brings humanity back to life. Oh, how much love God shows in this parable to bring humanity back. He himself picks us up and carries us to the end of the church. The church admits sinners and releases saints. In the early church, something very moving was happening on a regular basis. Soon after entering the church, former idolaters, the unethical, and the immoral all became saints. People entered the church from one gate and not so long after went out another gate to their martyrdom. What a beautiful sight. Back then, everyone saw this happen frequently. But in recent generations, it has not happened so much like this. So we have perhaps only a small glimpse of how sinners entered the church and left as saints and martyrs. Actually, the church sanctifies the entire creation. For example, when we celebrate a memorial, we bless what? Koliva. When we celebrate the Liti, we bless loaves, wheat, wine, and oil. When we bring flowers into the church, or candles, or first fruits during the summer, all are blessed. All these material things, which represent all of creation, whatever the church receives, she sanctifies, in order that all creation may be sanctified, uniting everything in and under Christ, making it all a part of his kingdom. But the church is also an infirmary, because in this present world, the faithful do nothing but battle constantly against the principalities and powers of darkness in high places, as St. Paul says. As a result, the present life, this present life, is nothing but an unending battlefield, as many of us well know. The battles are against the wicked demons, but also against our own former evil, corrupt, and uncaring hearts. And with every battle, there are always injuries and wounds. Those who are wounded from their struggle and effort come to the infirmary of the church in order to be treated and healed. The church is a hospital. How beautiful it is that the Lord created it this way. Consider how in the ancient world there were no hospitals. The inns, more or less, took on this function. Then later, the church emerged and stood out as the true infirmary, both for souls and no less for bodies. When the Lord sent out his disciples, and through his disciples their successors, to heal those who were sick among the people, this shows that the church is a clinic, an infirmary. But what medicine does she use? These, in today's story, are the two denarii, which the Good Samaritan gives to the innkeeper, who represents, our fathers say, the priest, saying, "Use these to heal my friend who is very sick." The two denarii are the Word of God and the holy mysteries or sacraments of the church. With these two denarii, the church, dear ones, is strong to heal all. Often people say to me, "How can I get well? What must I do?" The answer from today's gospel is clear. First, come to church and listen to the Word of God. Those who listen attentively begin to cultivate good within their soul, and their wounds, which they've acquired because of their sins, begin to heal. Then also, the church applies the exceedingly strong medicine of the holy mysteries. Holy baptism, which we witnessed this morning, holy confession, holy communion, holy unction, all of these are the means by which Christ himself treats his wounded faithful. But not only is the church a hospital, the church is also the ark of salvation, the ark which saves from the drowning flood of this present world. You remember the old story of Noah and his ark. Everything that remained outside the ark drowned. And there were not many arks in that story. There weren't even two, brothers and sisters. There was only one. Whatever remained inside that ark was protected and saved. This is exactly how it is also with the ark of the church, brothers and sisters. Our fathers say over and over that the ark of the Old Testament was a prefigurement of the church in the New Testament. Whoever remains outside perishes. How do they perish? From the streams and flood of ideas and sights and obscenities and various sins. It's not possible for souls to be saved outside of Christ, for he is himself salvation. And he is the ark. He is the church. Only those who are in him are protected. However, there's a caution here. When we say, "I am in the church," be careful. Let's try to remove a misunderstanding that sometimes we carry. When we say, "I'm in the church," we don't mean that you're physically present in the temple building. The temple is called church by connotation because the faithful, who are the church, gather inside of her. But to be in the church doesn't just mean that I'm inside the temple, because I can be inside the temple and even be a baptized Orthodox Christian, but not participate in the holy mysteries of the church. And if this is the case, then I am actually an outsider, estranged from the saving elements which Christ has given himself to humanity. When the Apostle Paul says, we are members of the body of Christ, our fathers affirm that we are so only when we are organically attached in a living way to the body of Christ. This is what the church is. The church is the body of Christ. Only when I commune of his body and blood and keep his commandments can I say that I am in the church in a saving manner. Remember what the Lord himself says in John chapter 15. Whoever does not remain united with me as a branch to the vine, the trunk of the vine, and I am this trunk, he says, does not bear fruit, but dries up. And then what happens? He is gathered to be thrown into the fire and burned. This means, again, that we must belong organically, livingly, as branches connected to the trunk of the vine, and be receiving the juice from that vine. So also, I must be united with Christ, be a member of his body, to have these juices of life, his body and his blood flowing through me, which are for me life eternal. Only then can I say that I am in the church, and otherwise, I am not. Don't be deceived. And don't try to be Gnostic or overly spiritual about this. It's very concrete. If I try to fool myself that I'm a Christian person, I believe in Christ, but I don't receive his life in the holy mysteries of the church, then I am not actually a part of the organic, living, historic body of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the church is the one great inn which receives both rational and irrational creation to sanctify all, to make all things incorruptible, to make them immortal, and to lead all into all light in God. The church is the all-powerful, marvelous infirmary and the true ark which saves. So let us not forget St. John Chrysostom's marvelous words. Do not separate from the church. There is no bastion other than the church. Your hope, he writes, the church. Your salvation, the church. Your refuge, the church. To the glory of God. Amen.